Serious White Sox Weekly, your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
That baby will go!
Lance Lynn with an absolute gem.
Deep to right! It is gone! It's a no-hitter! Carlos Rodon! What a performance!
Now here's your host, Connor McKnight.
What is up? And welcome in to White Sox Weekly here on ESPN 1000. I'm Connor McKnight. Happy 2023. It's our very first episode of the brand new year. Got a lot to get to in this first show of 2023. White Sox made a big-time signing official earlier this week. We've been talking about Andrew Benintendi as a future part of the White Sox for a few weeks with reports, but now it's official. He has met the media and is sworn in, so to speak, as a new Chicago White Sox. White Sox fans, 2023 ticket plans are available now. We offer a variety of plans, and when you lock in today, you'll get flexible payment plans, savings on single games, great seat locations, and more. For more information, visit whitesox.com/season tickets. So the main topic of the show today is going to be Andrew Benintendi, how he fits with the 2023 White Sox, what his last couple of years have looked like, and I think just kind of how this roster is shaping up with 11 weeks and 4 days until opening day against the Houston Astros down in Houston, defending World Series champs. I think that's kind of the main idea here. Wonder what you think about the signing. I know you've talked about it over the last couple of weeks or so, but now that it's official and we've heard a couple of different things from guys like Rick Hahn and Pedro Grifol, I think we get a little bit better idea of what this roster or how this roster is going to work. Not necessarily what it's going to look like, but how it's going to work in this coming season. So 312-332-3776. That's the phone number on the show as always. This show is yours as much as anything else. We want to talk White Sox with you. At 2:30, we'll talk White Sox with Jesse Rogers. There are a couple of different reports out that may or may not link the White Sox to yet another outfielder, which is good because they could probably use some on the 40-man roster depth, if nothing else. We'll get to that in a little bit. And as I mentioned, we get to the sound we've got from Andrew Benintendi and Grifol and from Rick Hahn. But before we really get going, if you just allow me a moment, I wanted to say thank you in a really big way to a couple of different people. I have been off the show the last month and a half now. So a big thank you to Tyler Aki and Jesse Rogers and Jeff Meller, who all filled in as host. My wife and I had a baby, our first kid. I took some time to make sure that I could help out and be around the house and get to meet my daughter as best as I could. So a big thank you to those three and to Kendra Scott, our producer, who put up with those three guys who can all be absolutely crazy and is now dealing with me back on the show, which is even crazier. But it's been a big couple of weeks for us here at the house, and we're really looking forward to 2023, not just for the baseball kinds of things, but we get to do the first-time parent deal as well, and I am very much looking forward to the first time we get to bring the kid out to the ballpark to get introduced to this great game. So that's where we've been the last couple of weeks. Here's what the White Sox have been up to over the last couple of days. I want to first, more than anything else, get you in to some Andrew Benintendi sound. Get you used to his voice. Get you used to what he was thinking about when he came over to the White Sox as he was working out this deal with Rick Hahn, with Kenny Williams, with Pedro Grifol, all that kind of stuff. So let's get to that in good order. I think first, what you'll hear from Benintendi is the why of his decision. It's a huge deal. 5 years, $75 million. It's the largest free agent contract the White Sox have issued to a free agent player, which you've likely known up to this point. But Andrew talked a bit just the other day about why he chose the White Sox over the other 29 teams in baseball.
The thing for me is that from the day one of the offseason, there was communication. There was constant interest throughout the entire process. And just talking about it with Petey, with Rick, and the rest of the front office and everything. So it's glad to be here. It's good to be here with a team that's been wanting me from day one. So pumped to be here.
Yeah, and day one there, as Benintendi referenced, is, you know, kind of day one of the offseason. But it's no secret that the White Sox have been interested in Andrew Benintendi since he came out of Arkansas in the Major League Draft in 2015. We've heard those stories. We've kind of reported some of them. The White Sox had reportedly tried to trade for Benintendi when he was with the Red Sox, even after being drafted. Went to the Royals, spent a little bit of time with the Yankees last year. And we'll get into his production in just a little bit. But all that to say, the White Sox, and maybe Rick Hahn most particularly, have been very interested in Benintendi's player profile. So I think most importantly here for in terms of what his player profile is, he's a lefty. He's a lefty that handles the bat really well. He hits in just about every way you'd want to, other than power. And really, the slash line that brings, you know, kind of the most relief to the White Sox offensively from Benintendi is this, and it's career numbers against right-handed pitching, a place where the White Sox offensively over the last couple of years and definitely last season really lacked some, I mean, not just thump, but just kind of production or even keeping your head above water in different points of the season. So Benintendi in his career is a .286 hitter against right-handed pitching. He has a .358 career on base against right-handed pitching, and he's got a .451 slug. That's an .808 OPS lifetime against right-handers. And we'll talk a bit about how the power has kind of ebbed and flowed for Andrew Benintendi, but I think something, and we'll get to what Rick Hahn had to say about this probably in the second segment, but I think the one thing, as we've mentioned before, that Benintendi doesn't necessarily provide to the White Sox are power numbers. However, at the risk of sounding a bit like a broken record from the back to the beginning of the last season, if guys on this roster hit to their potential, you know, that back of the baseball card kind of stuff, and stay a little healthier, they may not need the kind of power that was out there on the free agent market in other places, perhaps. Benintendi does a lot of other things for this lineup, probably hitting out of the second spot, or at least that'd be my guess. That's where Benintendi spent most of his time as a big leaguer, hitting out of that second spot because of his contact ability. So you would figure that kind of fits in right around there. More from Benintendi. He mentioned in the prior cut, Petey. That's Pedro Grifol. Grifol came over, of course, from the Royals to the White Sox. It's his first managerial go. And Benintendi talked a bit about his relationship with Grifol and how it played into the decision to join the White Sox.
I mean, it definitely played a factor. You know, obviously being within the last 2 years in Kansas City, was familiar with, you know, how he went about his day, his routine, the way he, you know, the early work, the preparation, everything like that is something that, you know, when I was in Kansas City, it stood out to me. You know, obviously it's easy to joke around with him and everything like that. So it's a relationship that I'm glad to have so far, and the next 5 years is going to get even better.
So in a lot of ways, it kind of felt, I don't know, obvious is the right word, but potential or full of potential that Benintendi would sign with the White Sox this year. There were a couple of things that kind of, you know, led you the opposite direction. White Sox general manager Rick Hahn kind of starting the offseason by saying the trade market was going to be maybe a little bit more favorable for us, for the White Sox, than the free agent market. That, you know, they really haven't made a trade of any consequence and have indeed made a couple of free agent signings that matter quite a bit, what with, you know, the starting pitching and now the outfield depth or starter that they've acquired in Andrew Benintendi and Mike Clevinger, of course, who's going to be in the rotation. I think, you know, when you've got a relationship like this, when you've got a long-term desire from the organization standpoint to get Benintendi on the team, it almost felt too simplistic to say, oh, Benintendi to the White Sox, signed, sealed, delivered, you're ready to go. I mean, it was not fait accompli that the White Sox were going to put this kind of free agent contract out there into the world when the season ended last year. So it's a bit of a shift there, but it makes sense, I think, that it's this player, a guy they've kind of coveted for a while, that gets that deal, that is that move that didn't look like the big move the White Sox were going to make when the offseason started. Benintendi also talked a bit, like Grifol did when he was introduced to the media, about what it was like to play against the White Sox over the last couple of years. Here's Andrew.
Obviously, the first thing that stands out when I think about that team is the pitching staff, you know, the tough arms in the bullpen, the tough starters. But then it's just a bonus on the other side, too, is the talent at the plate. The at-bats that guys have, the speed, the power. So I'm excited to be a part of that. You know, obviously watching from afar, but the last few years, but to be a part of that lineup, to be a part of, you know, this team, I'm excited to get things going.
Benintendi went on to say that Aaron Bummer, I think he might have told Vinny Duber of CHGO that Aaron Bummer was kind of the at-bat, the lefty at-bat in particular, that Benintendi wasn't all that thrilled in taking over the last couple of years with the sinker he's got, the slider he's got, that Bummer has. And I think Benintendi joked to Vinny that he'd be walking away from some of those at-bats in spring training. I mean, he's going to have to face him, but not thrilled to do so on the backfields down there in Glendale, Arizona. So that's the latest from Andrew Benintendi. I want to bring you some sound from Rick Hahn and Pedro Grifol coming up in the second segment. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number here on White Sox Weekly. And David was kind enough to phone the line, and now he's on White Sox Weekly. David, what's up, my man?
Hey, Connor. I just wanted to talk about TA.
Okay.
I've heard some negative connotations of TA. Like, oh, what are we going to do with TA? He's fantastic. He's a fantastic hitter. I watched him win two games last year by himself. Stole second, stole third, ran in. He'll hit an oppo homer. He can pull the ball, too. Fantastic hitter. Okay, he makes some errors. Why would anyone say anything about TA? Okay, that's my first point.
All right. Well, go ahead. You make the second. We'll wrap up the whole thing for you.
Yeah.
Go ahead, David. What else is on your mind?
So, TA is now the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
And we need to... he's a fantastic player. And I've heard people disgrace, oh, Tim Anderson sucks, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about?
David, I appreciate you, my man. And I'm sure Tim appreciates the backup, too. Listen, Tim Anderson at the top of his game is a top five American League shortstop. The spot, the place that his game probably doesn't measure up to the rest of the elite shortstops in the American League is defensively. He has had lapses there. He has had rough stretches there for sure. But when he's hitting the way he can, you know, keeping that average up, hitting for a little bit more pop than he did last year, he's elite. There's no doubt about it. The guy started the All-Star game last year. From a business side of things, from a roster standpoint side of things, Tim Anderson is a relative bargain when it comes to, you know, the rest of your free agent crop. You know, you look at the guys who signed deals in this offseason. I guess technically Carlos Correa still hasn't signed a deal yet. Boy, is that getting weird. We'll talk to Jesse about that in a little while. I mean, it's a big story. Correa had signed with the Giants, then wasn't, then signed with the Mets, and still hasn't. So we'll talk about that a bit. But the rest, you know, Dansby Swanson and Xander Bogaerts, these guys are signing big-time contracts and aren't, you know, in a lot of circumstances. You look at Dansby Swanson, Tim Anderson laps Dansby Swanson in terms of production when both are at their best offensively. And relatively speaking, Anderson's a bargain for the White Sox at what he's being paid. That allows you a lot of roster flexibility or payroll flexibility. And the White Sox flexed some of that to get Andrew Benintendi into the fold. I guess if there is, as David is kind of talking about, some frustration anywhere, it's with availability, right? And that's been the big issue, or at least one of the big issues for the White Sox over the last three seasons. It's getting guys healthy and keeping them there, whether it's Tim Anderson, Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, Yasmani Grandal, Yoan Moncada. There has just been a difficulty in staying on the field for the White Sox, really, you know, since kind of the tail end of the 2020 season. Can those things be fixed? Yeah, sure, absolutely. A lot of that, though, is out of your control. You know, whether there's a collision in the outfield or a hamstring just goes or whatever, some of that is just bad luck and the nature of the game. So that variance, unfortunately, has hit the White Sox a little bit harder, and they've made some roster changes, or I guess I should say staff changes, to their strength and conditioning, to their training staff, to the doctors and all that sort of thing, to try and ensure that they've got a better handle on keeping those guys healthy, and that hopefully benefits Tim Anderson as much as anybody else. Because when the White Sox have Tim Anderson at shortstop, they win a lot of baseball games. And when they don't, they have struggled to win as many baseball games over the last couple of years. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number. I'm Connor McKnight. More on Andrew Benintendi signing with the White Sox when we come back. You'll hear from General Manager Rick Hahn and from the manager, Pedro Grifol, on the other side of a quick break. It's ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports. On app. The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Welcome back to White Sox Weekly. I'm Connor McKnight. You're listening to ESPN 1000, our first show 2023. There are actually, I opened up just a browser and searched for, you know, countdown calendar and punched in opening night for the White Sox and Astros. This web tool shows me 11 weeks, 4 days, 16 hours, 8 minutes, 50 seconds. Technically speaking, first pitch hasn't been set for Thursday, March 30th, but I plugged in 7:30 p.m. So, yeah, you figure it's going to be the ring ceremony and the banner gets raised and all that kind of stuff. So it's probably closer to like an 8 o'clock first pitch or something like that. We'll have a pregame show for you here on the station and a whole bunch of spring training games before that. But, you know, while, you know, it's January 7th. Is it, are we close to opening day? No. Are we closer than it feels like? Yeah, I think so. And the White Sox signed Andrew Benintendi. They made it official, introduced him to reporters earlier this week. And that is the main topic of conversation here on White Sox Weekly this afternoon. We're going to talk to Jesse Rogers in just a couple of minutes. He's our guest on the show today. You can become a White Sox insider today for sweepstakes, special offers, the Friday Five, pre-sales, and other exciting White Sox content delivered free to your inbox. Visit whitesox.com/insider today. We played some sound from Andrew Benintendi earlier on in the show. We've got some left over from manager Pedro Grifol, who managed, well, he was the hitting coach of the Kansas City Royals last year while Benintendi was there. And Pedro, the new manager of the White Sox, answered a question on how he thinks Andrew Benintendi fits into his vision for the 2023 Sox.
He's a very versatile player. And what I mean by that, obviously, he's a left fielder, but he's a very versatile player as far as where we're going to, where we hit him in the lineup. He's done everything in the game. He's hit for average. He's hit for some power. He definitely runs the bases well. He fits really well into what we're trying to do here. I'll go ahead and share this little quick story. I went in for my, actually when I was preparing for my first interview with Rick and some of the guys, I identified Benny as a great fit for our ball club, but I didn't mention his name that particular day. And it wasn't until the second interview with Kenny and Rick that one of them mentioned, hey, what are your thoughts on Andrew Benintendi? And I'm like, okay, you mentioned it, not me. So now let me talk about him. So he fits perfect. He fits perfect in this ball club. He fits perfect in this park. He's exactly what we were looking for this offseason.
So Kenny or Rick popped the top on the Benintendi conversation when Grifol was interviewing. And I think, you know, he used the word versatile there. And Benintendi's going to play left, right? No question there. That's where he plays. But he is a well-rounded player who does a lot of things well. He runs the bases pretty well. He won a gold glove in left in 2021. He's got a couple injuries pop up here over the last couple of years, but did play in 126 games in total in 2022. Memory serves, he had a hamstring pop up close to the deadline, but that didn't stop the Yankees from acquiring the then 27-year-old left fielder as they made their push to the postseason and had Aaron Judge do all the things that he did. An all-star in 2022, while with the Royals, the numbers are a lot better there than they were with the New York Yankees, but the slash line on the season in 2022, 304, 373, 399. Anytime we talk slash line, that's average on base and slugging percentage. More from Pedro Grifol. He was asked about the type of teammate that Benintendi is going to be with the White Sox.
He's real quiet until and a bat doesn't go his way or a call doesn't go his way. And then you just got to kind of stay away from him a little bit and let him do his thing. But he's a wonderful kid. I just finished telling his dad that they've done a wonderful job with him. He's a quiet leader, plays the game hard. He respects the game, and he's going to be a hell of a teammate.
He's from Cincinnati, or at least born there in 1994. You'll remember we talked about it before, but he went to the Red Sox in the first round, seventh overall, one pick ahead of the White Sox in that year's draft when Carson Fulmer was taken by the White Sox, eighth overall. So being from Cincy and Madera High School, that means that Benintendi has a lot to talk about with Tom Waddle whenever he's on the Waddle and Sylvie show. Both of those guys are Cincy guys. And believe me when I tell you, if you went to high school in Cincinnati, that's all you talk about. It's the only thing that you like. If you ask a Cincy guy, hey, where'd you go to school? They don't think like, oh, where'd you go to college? They don't think that you're asking them that. All you want to know is where you went to high school in Cincinnati. And then it's big. Well, you gotta see where you're at, because there's Mueller and there's Xavier X, they call it out there. Not sure where Madera ranks in terms of Cincinnati high schools, but maybe if Waddle's driving around and listening to this, he can call in and let us know. Probably not where his prestigious high school was, at least in his opinion, but that'll be between him and Benintendi. One more from Pedro Grifol here is it's kind of the overall question that got asked about it's a vibe check on how he feels players are heading into this coming season.
Expectations are high. This is not a rebuilding situation. You know, we're expected to win baseball games. And, you know, bringing Benny on board, you know, just, you know, lets everybody know that we're in this thing to do some special things and play October baseball. So everybody's excited, and everybody that I've spoken to, most all the players that I've spoken to are excited for spring training.
So that's Pedro Grifol. We'll hear from Rick Hahn in a little bit. And I think, you know, one thing I want to point out there about the word expectation that he used, I think that is a very, very good thing, obviously, for the White Sox in 23. I think it is easy, and I've heard a lot of White Sox fans kind of have a bit of this perspective, understandably so. When you're coming off an 81-81 season where you were A, expected to win a playoff series, when you were B, expected to win your division, when you were C, expected to be well over 500, right? All those goals in kind of descending order, and none of them met by the White Sox in 22. It's a blow. You know, it hurts. That hurts in an organization. That hurts from a managerial standpoint, from a coaching staff standpoint, from an individual player standpoint, from a fan standpoint. That one hurts. But that doesn't mean that the expectations on this team shouldn't be back up there. Yeah, there's a different look for this team, having said goodbye to Jose Abreu, now on the Houston Astros, a guy they're going to play against on opening night come up March 30th, just a little over 11 weeks from now. But still, there are expectations on this team. And whether or not they've got the roster now that's going to meet those expectations is a conversation that we're going to have for the next 11 weeks, and we're going to watch play out in spring training. I want to talk with Jesse Rogers after a quick break about what the White Sox may yet have to do to improve their club for 2023. We've actually heard bigger rumors around the White Sox than have actually played out in free agency and in the trade market. So we'll check up with Jesse on where those things may be at. We'll talk league-wide as well, see if there's any end to the Carlos Correa saga in sight, and a whole lot more. 312-332-3776, that's the number. Jesse Rogers, our guest next on White Sox Weekly. It's ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. 1000.
White Sox fans, if you're planning a special occasion and looking for the perfect location, we've got you covered. When you reserve your group outing for 2023, you get priority access to the biggest matchups and the best space for your group. For more information, visit whitesox.com/groups. I'm Connor McKnight. This is White Sox Weekly, and the voice you're about to hear is a familiar one. You listen anytime on the station, and Jesse's hopping on and filling in. He was kind enough to fill in for me a few times on White Sox Weekly while I was out. Jesse, appreciate that more than you know, my man. Thanks so much for hopping on and talking a little baseball with us. How you been?
Oh, I'm doing great. Congratulations, Connor.
Thanks.
I understand that you're going to need some time away during the season, I guess, because you've got to be a parent now, my friend. So
yeah, sleep is foreign to me now. Yeah.
When it comes to baseball, you're not going to get much sleep between that and the baby. So
no, again. I won't. Yeah, I'm hoping to set up a pack and play at the ballpark so that hopefully I can just have the baby there a few times. We'll just do that kind of thing. That's what we'll end up doing.
They should absolutely do that. Just hand the baby to Stone or Benetti or something.
Steve Stone's great with kids. DJ loves babies. Like she's in great hands. She's in great hands.
So
Uncle
funny.
Len's going to be fantastic too. It'll be good.
Oh, man.
Jesse, we were introduced to Andrew Benintendi, and I guess more than anything else, from the White Sox perspective, I find it interesting that Rick Kahn kind of started the offseason saying, oh, look at the trade market. I think that's going to be it for us. And instead, it's been two fairly big free agent signings in Mike Clevinger and Andrew Benintendi that shaped the offseason so far. Do you think that there's more to come in that trade market for the White Sox? Are we done?
No, I think there is more to come. If I had a guess, and, you know, this is sort of an educated guess in talking to people around the league, there probably is a trade of one of their relievers, a strength of their team, possibly more than anything, just to open up a few dollars based on their payroll and, you know, their own budget, and to acquire a second baseman or whether that be via trade to, you know, pay for one that's already under contract or pick up a free agent second baseman. I think that is possibly in the cards still. Move a reliever, use that money to pay for a second baseman, however they acquire that person. Now, you know my feeling. Anybody that's listened to me in Chicago for a decade now knows my feeling. Tommy La Stella is available on the trade market. The Sox could never have enough left-handed hitting the way things have gone. I actually wish you could combine Romy Gonzalez and Tommy La Stella. You'd really have a good switch hitting, decent defensive second baseman, also a guy that can hit. I mean, Tommy can hit without the shift. I think Romy's the better option defensively, but I don't know if Romy has the offensive game you might want. So, like, you need that kind of a combination. Now, I really like Romy Gonzalez because I think he's a smart player, and that's always going to find a spot on my team. So I think he can only get better offensively. I think he can handle things defensively without the shift. But and here's the thing, Connor, if they get back to their offensive profile from a year or two ago, I think they can withstand playing a guy like Romy Gonzalez, who may not bring the most offensively. But I do think they're probably in the market for a second baseman, and it could come via trade for a reliever or at least open up money when they do trade a reliever.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned kind of being what they need to be offensively, because I kind of look at that as opening up their potential in terms of dealing one of those arms in the back end of the bullpen. It's great to have, you know, your top three guys in that pen, whether it's Bummer or Graveman or Hendricks or Kelly or Lopez or, you know, however you want to shape them up, right? But if you can't get to those guys with a lead, then what can they really provide to you? So I like the idea of popping a lot more runs on the board. And maybe not having all of those guys in the back end. We saw rumors, I guess, that the Mets had been kind of kicking tires on a Liam Hendricks thing. I think John Heyman reported that weeks ago. Are the Mets holding baseball hostage in any way with the Carlos Correa thing working, whether it's, you know, a potential Hendricks deal or something else that they've got cooking?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think from the Mets' perspective, that their business is being held up a little bit because of Correa. I think, as you saw today, there was a trade, sort of a big trade today. The Phillies acquired a lefty reliever. In fact, I think the Phillies were calling around, and there was a conversation about Liam Hendricks with them as well. So, but they go ahead and they sign Craig Kimbrell. Now they trade for Gregory Soto. So I think the business of baseball is moving on without Correa, but I think the Mets are kind of on hold. Now, I'm not sure that they signed Correa and then a day later they're trading for Liam Hendricks. I mean, I think there's been a lot of conversations behind the scenes about White Sox relievers. For some reason, the Hendricks, you know, situation has kind of popped to the forefront, but I think they've talked about Crochet coming back from his injury. They've talked about Joe Kelly. I think basically it's kind of what you said. You if you have weaknesses all over your team, you're going to take from your strength if it's the bullpen and move from it, because what's the point, like you said, of having that strength of if there's various weakness all over the place? So I think you're right. I think that there's a deal to be had there because it's a strength, and it's just not Liam Hendricks that's been talked about. He's just the biggest name out there. But I'm not sure that, you know, once Correa signs, they're going to trade for Liam Hendricks or anything like that. But I do think there'll be a deal, and I do think the Mets will probably be involved in a deal for a reliever. So if it's not Hendricks, it might be someone else, but it also might be another team.
Well, listen, I think too, we're talking with Jesse Rogers here on White Sox Weekly, of course, you know the boys. I think too, you know, when you've got as many options in the back end of the bullpen as the White Sox do, it allows them to kind of control the pace a little bit. You've heard Rick Hahn say, we're fairly happy with the in organization options in second base. And you've mentioned a couple of them, Romy Gonzalez, Leury Garcia, Lennon Sosa, you know, maybe some other minor leaguers that could pop into the thing, or maybe some NRIs like Tommy La Stella. But even still, you know, you could mix and match there if that guy, whoever that is your nine hitter for the first 2 months of the season before you figure out which reliever is hottest and which one's going to catch the most on a trade and which one's going to fill in that spot best. There are worse places to be, I think. You?
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, you, if you're projecting that some of these guys that underachieved last year are going to get back to the back of their baseball card, at least in some ways, Moncada and Robert, and hopefully staying healthy with a few of them as well, then you can do exactly what you're talking about and maybe fill a need later on. I do think that. But it does sound like there's at least another move to be made before we get to spring training. And it feels like it would be around second base. You know, I do think you have to think about defense more than ever at second base because of the elimination of the shift. You could get away with guys playing deep, you know, into the outfield grass and all that jazz. You can't do that anymore. So right. That's where I think Tommy has some issues, for example, using him. So you got to make sure you're short up there. And if you have enough offense, you think about a defensive player first at second, and I think Romy Gonzalez fits that qualification.
You know, there's probably another outfielder that could get added. The White Sox have, in varying forms of their roster, Billy Hamilton, I believe, on a minor league deal. Mm-hmm. Victor Reyes is down there on a non-roster invite contract, but it's Benintendi, Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, Gavin Sheets, and Andrew Vaughn listed on their depth chart right now. And as we all know, Andrew Vaughn is their first baseman, not an outfielder. There's been a couple of reports, you know, blog kind of stuff. Jake Marisnik's name has been out there. Adam Duvall's name has been out there. Do you sense that there could be a, you know, kind of a fourth, fifth outfielder type that might be on the radar for the White Sox, or is second base that next spot?
Yeah, I think it's second base. NRI, yes. The answer is yes. They're a veteran NRI for sure. You know, it's funny. You mentioned one of the names there that I just feel like is completely lost in the mix, and that is Gavin Sheets. I mean, since the GM meetings, I've been sort of asking Rick Hahn every chance I've had, where does Gavin Sheets fit into this thing, especially so after you acquire Andrew Benintendi, which, by the way, we haven't really talked about, I think is a great signing. I actually think Benintendi, for the money, for what the need is, he's the best signing either team made in Chicago this offseason. That's saying a lot, considering the Cubs picked up a shortstop. But I love the Benintendi signing for what they need. But where is Gavin Sheets in this mix? Is he going to get right field if Oscar Colas doesn't emerge? Or what's the situation there? So I don't think they need another one necessarily, but they'll bring in some depth for sure. I think you've got to find at bats for Sheets. Because we don't know that Benintendi's power is going to bat, you know, and even at his best, he's a 15 home run, 20 home run guy. Sheets really came on in the second half, Connor. So I would not crowd that outfield up any more than it is, even though you're presuming a rookie is going to take right field. I think if anyone falters, Sheets needs to get some at bats. You got to have that left-handed slug, especially if you're going to have a righty at second base, as we're talking about with Romy Gonzalez. So. Yeah, I think there's an NRI there, but I wouldn't, you know, clog it up too much. I think Gavin Sheets, if he's on this team, and he could be trade bait, to be honest, if he's on this team, is going to need some at bats somewhere, and it could be right field, it could be DH when Eloy's, you know, sitting out, whatever. But I think they have enough, even in moving Vaughn in the infield from the outfield.
Well, you talked earlier, Jesse, about what the shift or not having a shift might do to different players, to Benintendi. Sheets is a guy who, if you take that shift away, and we've seen him beat it, you know, down the third baseline every now and again. Listen, if Gavin Sheets just gets to go slug the hell out of the baseball like a lot of big lefties are going to in 2023, because that's the, what they're going to be rewarded for again, you could do a lot worse than handing some, you know, lefty-righty Sheets versus righty at bats and saying, go get them, you know, go eat. You could see rewards there.
I think so. I'm not just saying that. I've always thought Sheets had that ability. Didn't get off to a great start. Came on pretty good in the second half. You have to remember with these ball players, Connor, if they're not getting every day at bats, it's really hard to judge them. I guarantee you, even though Andrew Vaughn played a lot, like he is now 160 games, right? Basically, yeah. Like he is licking his chops. Now, Sheets is not going to get that chance, but he showed with some consistent playing time last year, he had some slugging. For a team that doesn't have it from the left side, you got to take what you can get. So I don't know if he can get the consistent at bats, but he's at least a little bit closer this year because Vaughn's now out of the mix in the outfield. But they've added Benintendi. So it's kind of like, you know, they've added one and subtracted one with Abreu and Benintendi. I think there's value in Sheets for a team that needs left-handed slug. You just got to get him the right amount of at bats. So I would say both in Romy's case and Sheets, sort of part-time players last year, I like their floor and their ceiling more than maybe a lot of Sox fans. I think there's something there as they you know grow through their careers. Still early in their careers for both of them, especially Romy, obviously. So yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, don't clog it up too much. Let's get some at bats for especially a guy like Sheets. And you know, if he might have run into 20 now in part-time duty, which would be pretty impressive.
Yeah, it would. I wonder when you think last one before we go here about the catching depth the White Sox have. You know, obviously it was a. It's been real tough to keep Yasmani Grandal healthy. It's a demanding position more than anything else, and he's on the other side of 30. Sebi Zavala had some good weeks last year. Carlos Perez has been hitting well this offseason in the various places that he's played. We've seen a couple of, you know, like the Tucker Barnharts of the world get signed over the last little bit, you know, kind of that veteran backup, you know, all defense, no stick kind of dude. Percentage chances that there might be another catcher added into the mix or that – you know, Sebi could be challenged, I guess, from many places.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. There's a few out there. Chirinos. I think there's a couple others out there that would probably, again, maybe NRIs type of guys. Yeah, but yeah, I think so. Though Sebi has shown a lot, you know, in the limited playing time, he has shown a lot, especially at the plate. Again, not easy. Backup catcher. You only get a certain amount of at-bats. He's probably overachieved a little bit, but that doesn't mean, you know, at some point it's not overachieving. It's who he is. And look, if Yasmani gets back to who he can be or was, that's a pretty good 1-2 combination there. But again, that's best case scenario. So yeah, I could see a little bit more depth there. There's a few other catchers out there that have experience that are good with pitching staffs that could fit again as an NRI or maybe to push as a backup. So yeah, I think second base, catcher, those positions, maybe an outfielder for an NRI are all possibilities before spring training.
Jesse, appreciate you as always. We'll talk again soon.
All right, Connor, again, congrats. Talk to you, man.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's Jesse Rogers, ESPN.com, all over the place and here on the station, ESPN 1000. And a big thanks to Jesse for filling in while I was away on paternity. 312-332. Still, that feels weird to say. It really does. 312-332-3776. That's the phone number. More conversation about what the White Sox look like with Andrew Benintendi in the fold. You will hear from Rick Hahn when we come back on ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
You can stay up to date on all things White Sox by following the team's official social media accounts. Don't miss a minute of the action on and off the field. Follow at White Sox on social media. Wherever social media still exists today, at White Sox, they got a whole bunch of good stuff for you. Closing it up here on White Sox Weekly, I'm Connor McKnight. Big thanks to Jesse Rogers for hopping on the show earlier. Our producer, Kendra Scott, she's playing the cuts this afternoon. We've got a couple left from White Sox general manager Rick Hahn, who spoke with reporters the other night. Hahn was not at the introductory press conference for Benintendi at Guaranteed Rate Field due to some travel issues. I don't know if he was on a flight that got canceled or something like that, but I know there were a lot of those over the last couple of weeks. Either way, Han opened up a press conference the night before Benintendi was introduced, talking a bit about the signing itself. Here's Rick Han.
Start by saying how thrilled we are to add Andrew to the organization. I actually joked with him when we did a group Zoom call as part of the Getting to Know You process back in November, that I've waited over, I believe, 7.5 years to officially welcome him to the organization, given how highly we regarded him when he was at the University of Arkansas. So better late than never, as Andrew certainly fits many of the things that we were looking for this offseason in terms of balancing out our lineup and adding a different type of hitter, and obviously a dynamic player who's earned accolades, not just for his offense, but for his defense as well, and we think makes us a better, well-rounded ball club, both offensively and defensively.
Han expounded some on how Benintendi improves the roster from all kinds of different angles.
His profile, both offensively and defensively, we thought were great compliments to what we already had and how we projected to break the season come opening day. A guy who obviously not just left-handed, but gives you a tough AB, can grind it out, put up solid on-base numbers towards the top of the lineup, and as well as improve ourselves from an outfield defense standpoint. He really fit in a lot of different ways that we were looking to improve ourselves. I know that I had mentioned that my guess was that more additions were going to come via trade as opposed to via free agency, but that obviously didn't stop us from pursuing guys like Andrew and previously Mike Clevenger, who we felt fit what we needed. And obviously we were able to find a way to make the economics work and convert on both of those targets.
Yeah, I mean, the economics had to work for Andrew Benintendi. It is the biggest free agent contract offered by the White Sox or given out by the White Sox in franchise history, so that matters. It is, I think, also indicative of where baseball is at in terms of free agent signings and dollars and money. I mean, listen, the players have struck in this offseason. A lot of big dollars have been given out. And while Benintendi is a well-rounded, left-handed, quality outfielder, he is kind of a top 30 sort of free agent, top 25 sort of free agent. He's not a top 5, top 10 sort of guy. All that to say, costs are going up. And to sign Benintendi for what they did is a good deal, I think, for over the next 5 years, especially given that, as Rick Han kind of said earlier, he fits a lot of things that the White Sox don't have. He's a lefty. Well-rounded lefty, and kind of the only thing that's void in his game, not void, but lacking some, I guess, in terms of being a corner outfielder, is the power. Speaking of power, Benintendi plays left field. Eloy Jimenez, who has a ton of it, had been in left, at least a lot, over his White Sox career up till now. So Han was asked what this means for both players.
I'll leave, I think that's a better question for Pedro, who'll be available tomorrow, and he can explain to you sort of how what we've talked about in terms of Eloy's role going forward, as well as the conversations with Eloy. I will say I still expect Eloy to be available and play some outfield. The positive, if you want to take some positive development out of his limited availability last year, was that Eloy showed that he could thrive in the DH spot offensively when that was his primary spot. Obviously, a lot of players we've seen over time takes a period of time to adjust to that role, and Eloy certainly showed that he's able to produce as a primary DH. Again, that said, I still think there's going to be some opportunities along the way for him to play in the outfield. But that's the better question for the manager about how he's going to deploy the roster once he's available.
So one more thing here, and he mentioned what Pedro Grifol was going to talk about the next day. Grifol then said in his press conference, right field is an option for Eloy Jimenez. And after that, I've seen a lot of White Sox fans kind of lose their mind about Eloy Jimenez being in right field or being the right fielder. I don't think that's what Grifol meant. I don't think that the White Sox have right field on the top priority list for Eloy Jimenez in 2023. you put the carrot out there for a young player, and Jimenez is certainly still that. You want to keep the athleticism on the board. If he's going to DH a lot, that's great, but that means you still need Eloy Jimenez to be able to play in that corner, probably left, at least a couple of times next season. If he plays 20-some games in the outfield, I'm not talking full games, I'm talking 20-some games in the outfield, that makes sense to me. If he's got a couple innings in right field to finish out a game, or if things get weird late in extras and the Manfred man hasn't scored in an hour and a half, that's what it is, right? That's what this is. That's how that works. I wouldn't get all twisted about Eloy Jimenez maybe having a little bit of right field out there for him. I don't think it's the priority for the White Sox coming up. One more cut from Rick Hahn. We'll get to that next week because it's about second base and whether improving that position is a priority. That's a tease for next week's show because we are out of time. Huge thank you to Kendra Smith, our producer, to Jesse Rogers, our guest. We're back next week for more White Sox Weekly right here on ESPN 1000.